a global base with an emphasis on South Asia and the South Asian diaspora, and an even more special emphasis on the Punjabi diaspora. Hosted every Tuesday, 10 to midnight, by The Incredible Kid. This ain't world music, it's birth of a new world music.
Understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli, and today we're here with Danny and Tracy. How y'all doing today?
Hi, Adam.
Doing great.
Hey. Looking forward to hearing about all the new work that Ridgeworks Oregon is doing, and it's been a while since you've been on the show. So let's start with some brief introductions and then tell us about kind of how this whole project started.
I'm Danny Wilson. I'm the executive director of Ridgeworks Oregon, and we started the organization back in 2015 and started doing prison work in 2018.
I'm Tracy Schlapp, and I'm the creative director.
So in 2018, what we were doing, we formed a band and we started playing Johnny Cash's Folsom Prison record in all of the Oregon prisons with a live band. And it just happened to be the 50-year anniversary of that record. We weren't smart enough to realize that when we started it. We got that along the way. But that just led us into meeting a whole bunch of people and enjoying the work. And when we would meet the folks that were living inside, we just found that we wanted to do more and more. Before the pandemic came around, one man at Oregon State Penitentiary asked if we were interested in doing a storytelling class. And we had basically been doing music the whole time up until that point, the occasional one-off art workshop or something like that. But we started doing a monthly writing workshop, storytelling workshop down at Oregon State Pen for the year before the pandemic happened.
Year before the pandemic.
And then the only way we could keep it going during the pandemic was to do sort of a correspondence model. And what we were doing was collecting writing from the men inside, taking back, doing some edits, giving some suggestion. Tracy did the lion's share of all of that. And then returning it, driving it back down to Salem and returning it to the front desk so that it could be distributed back to them. That process, we jokingly started referring to ourselves as the Pony Express. And it resulted in a published book, which called Prisons Have a Long Memory, which is all writing from men inside Oregon State Pen. And while we had that book out and published, copies are still available on our website, we were going around to different communities around the state, particularly where there were prisons, and to the prisons themselves, and presenting various readings from it here and there. Talking about the work that we're doing, talking about the people that we meet and how hard they're working on themselves to improve their lives. And if they're a lifer, make life inside good for everybody. We got to Eastern Oregon Correctional Institution, and one guy had heard about it and he came to our meeting with a big stack of writing and said, okay, can you publish me now? When's your next book? And Tracy... Tracy went gray during the first book. No, he didn't. And we're like, we don't want to do that again. So on a drive home through the gorge, on the way home, a nice sunny day, we had the good or crazy idea to do a online journal, so we didn't have to go through the expense of publishing a book again. And we started that almost two years ago. It was July 1st, 2 years ago. It's been going. We publish every week for 3 to 5 writers from around Oregon. Tracy writes a beautiful intro to all of them. And that website is theponyexpress.org. So our sort of joking down and going back and forth during the pandemic actually turned into the actual Pony Express. And we've just dedicated a lot of our time to that project. And it includes, it's not just collecting writing, but we do weekly workshops for writers down at Oregon State Pen. We are going tonight, this is Sunday, when we're recording this, over to Coffee Creek Minimum for our monthly workshop there. Yesterday, we were at Coffee Creek Medium for a monthly workshop. Monday and Tuesday, we're going to be out at Eastern Oregon and Snake River doing the same thing. And we also go to Deer Ridge and Madras now once a month. And so we've collected a whole bunch of people that are coming to our monthly workshops and weekly at OSP, and they're all writing. And we're getting some things from people who aren't in the workshop as well, but we're really focusing on those folks because they're very motivated to write and submit to our program. That is our main push right now at the moment. We still do music. We did do a full band thing last year, but most of the time it's just me playing by myself when we go to certain facilities and try to provide a little bit of entertainment and as a way to kind of motivate people to get to know us a little bit and maybe submit some more writing and stuff like that.
So how the writing workshops work, how they consist of, you know, what's the program kind of oriented towards and what kind of writings are coming out that we can look at, you know, for people to check out? You know, we're talking poetry, are we talking the short stories, a little bit everything?
Well, so we make the workshops in a way so that someone who signs up or gets on the call out arrives and they don't feel like they're arriving without homework. So each one of them kind of is a standalone. So there's an opportunity to jump in at any time. And also if someone needs to miss a workshop, they don't feel like there's a lot of catch up. But basically we have folks gather and we sit in a circle and we start with a reading from a poem. And I do a little, how are you doing, kind of intro. And we start right off by doing a 5-minute free write. And from that, we'll often have something planned for our time together, like a worksheet with some poems and maybe an activity. But based on what happens in the free write, often we will have a conversation and that conversation will animate the entire 2-hour session. And so, like, I always like to have something in my back pocket, but I also like the spontaneity of seeing who's in the room, what they kind of want out of it. And we always have time for people to read anything they brought.
And we don't run it like a college class or anything. We're very
permissive parents.
So, you know, if Tracy will read the poems, usually picks out something that she really likes about it, maybe to focus on, then we do the free write. And then anybody who wants to read what they wrote reads. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. And most of the time everybody will. So then we have everybody in the room kind of going back and forth, talking about, oh, I liked what I heard there. That was interesting. I hadn't thought of that. And in a way, it becomes more of a discussion group than a writing workshop sometimes.
But one of our sort of lessons in that is that writing is really about listening. And so listening to one another and listening to the sound of our own voices and how they sound when we read out loud what we just wrote. And so that accountability, and then just that practice of being in front of people and opening up a little bit ends up being the connective tissue. And then over and over again, we hear, oh, like someone particularly that's new will say, I'm so surprised how much we were kind of thinking about some of the similar things. So then from those workshops, people will then generate essays, poetry. We get a little bit of short fiction, which is fine. We have a editorial board based out of those original writers at Oregon State Penn, and they create a set of guidelines for how we take in submissions. And then we have a couple of readers at Oregon State Penn that read absolutely every submission we get, and then they respond to them really in a very thoughtful way. So we're, as much as possible, trying to keep the balance of things centered in such a way that the folks inside are really have some autonomy.
The free rights, in answer to the last part of your question there, there are some guys that all they will ever do is rhyming poetry. And there's some guys that just will write a more prose verse. And so it's kind of like all takers, not so much fiction, like Tracy said, but for us, there's no rules. So whatever you want to bring to it is what you get to is what you bring to it. And everybody's really supportive. You'd be amazed how well these guys and the women too can rhyme so quickly and interestingly in 5 minutes. It's pretty amazing when they write that kind of poetry.
And also, you mentioned all the different facilities in Oregon that you've been to. Then you've also done some stuff out of state recently that sounded very interesting too. So can you tell us about that?
So we were invited by the International Folk Art Museum in Santa Fe, which has an exhibition of artwork made by people who are incarcerated. We were invited to come down and talk about the Pony Express. And so to make that trip really worthwhile for us, we went to visit the penitentiary of New Mexico. And that is, we went to the minimum facility, but we also went to the supermax. And so we had an opportunity to work with about 30 folks doing our usual bit with them in minimum. And then we went to the supermax, where we were required to really come in and like deal with what the situation at hand, because we thought we were going in to do a workshop with 12 people, and it ended up that there was staffing issues. And so we ended up going to unit by unit, door to door, and doing a workshop just person by person, because there wasn't enough staff to take people to a facility spot where we could work together.
So we didn't realize that we were going to do that. So Tracy comes in and she's planned to present the lesson in a certain way. And now we're looking at 12 doors there with the little food port is the only opening, and it's concrete and echoey. And so even if she were to stand back and yell, it was not going to come through. So the only way was to go up and knock on their cell and say this. And she just amazingly just adjusted on the fly to make something that actually turned out to be pretty meaningful, but kind of on a very one-to-one quick basis.
Adaptability is the name of the game in terms of doing anything in a prison. As you know, it's just the, because day to day, everything changes. And so we just have, that's, I feel like that's one of the things that we've learned from our time inside, is just how to kind of, you know, stay within the boundaries of the rule of the facility, but also bend our expectations and be flexible enough that we can walk away with something.
So we were in New Mexico and we also did a performance talk at the Museum of International Folk Art because they had this prison art show up, and that's how we got connected. Tracy happened to be down there in December and sleuthed her way into talking to the right people and found out what we did. And so they invited us down to go do that. And part of the reason that we also wanted to go down, not just to do that with them, but sort of the main reason actually. And while we were there, of course, we wanted to go do our thing at the prison. But we are across the country now, in Oregon included, incarcerated folks have access, not everybody, have access to these tablets, kind of like an iPad. And part of the tablet, there's movies they can rent, there's music they can pay for to listen to. Sometimes they can email, sometimes they can actually make phone calls from there, but it's all these are paid services on these tablets. Everybody in California gets their own in their cell. In Oregon, we're told that there's about one for every 80 people, so they have to check them out and share them. On the other part of the tablet is all free, and it's run by a nonprofit called Edovo, Edovo, I didn't say that very well. And they provide certificate courses. They provide all these learning opportunities. There's some religious stuff on there too, but it's not religious based as a rule. But all these learning opportunities. For example, one of the guys at OSP has taken JavaScript and HTML and all these computer languages and get certificates. So even though he doesn't have access, he's learned how to do them and can use that knowledge when he gets out. Whole bunch of things like that. And so we got hooked up with them and started providing content. So we have a number of writing courses on there. We have resources on there. So like the Prisons Have a Long Memory, that book is split up into a couple of parts and put on there so that anybody has access to a tablet can read that. We have from our Pony Express weekly publication, we've created some best of books. Those are up on there to read. There's some videos of music when Tracy and I got invited to go to the Johnny Cash Heritage Festival in those first couple of years and talk about the Johnny Cash connection to prison and what he was doing and why he was doing it. So there's courses that have certificates or writing courses, but then there's other stuff that's just kind of general knowledge or almost entertainment, if you will, but new things that we're trying to offer. And so in Santa Fe at that museum, we want to take that show, that prison art show, and we are working with the museum to turn that into a certificate-based course for that platform so that all of that prison art that they've collected can be shown in a way that anybody that's inside can see it.
And when you talk about prison art with this exhibition, is this art that's made specifically by people?
Yes.
Internationally.
Yes. Oh, internationally.
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a really great show. So there are a couple things to like fit in here. One is that, as you know, there's no internet access for folks who are incarcerated. So the Pony Express sits on Substack. And so it's available to everyone's friends and family for free to see their writing. And every time someone submits something, we print out a copy of their writing along with the introduction I wrote that week. So they know that they were in. But with Edovo, it allows us then to publish their writing and put that up on Edovo so that they can be part of that. It takes a little bit longer. There's a lag time because it takes us a little while to prepare that next section that goes up. But that was one of our compromises for how to make sure that people could see that they were indeed being published. And then the second thing is we wanted to start creating some opportunities for folks inside and folks on the outside to work together. So the courses on Edovo are also available on the Pony Express. So say one of the writing courses, if you had a friend or a loved one on the outside, they could be working through the lessons alongside you and you could have a conversation about what you wrote. So the idea of having some kind of other level of interaction and meaning in your writing, we thought was an interesting idea to do. So those are kind of ways that we're trying to at least make the digital piece of all this more human.
And how do you guys develop all this curriculum? What's the recipe? What's the secret? What's the or I don't know. I guess sometimes magicians can't reveal their secrets. But how like what is it that you know gives you know impetus or inspiration to developing all the different programs and curriculum within that?
It starts with the people inside. It's questions they have, and so it's really listening to them and figuring out what they're interested in, and then figuring out a way that we can address that question. And then insatiable curiosity, like what if this happened or how could this happen? At one point we've put up all of Danny's music that he's recorded as courses, because it's frowned upon on the paid side if music goes up on the free side. And so we just figured, well, we'll just put it up, but make it have, you know, people have to...
We'll give it some academic flavor, make it into a course.
So, but we still have the record. You can just listen to the whole record.
Because the other side of the tablet is a profit center for an outside contractor. They own the rights to put stuff on there, and they are making money off the people who are listening to music. So they don't want any music on the other side. We do it in such a way. But when we started doing it, we're like, okay, how do we, what courses do we come up with? And Tracy just looked at, we have all this, all these things that we've created, the Pony Express every week. We have best of, we have the records, we have all these things that we've done. Let's just turn them into a course.
Yeah.
Because there's some, you know, with a little creative thinking and analyzing the text. And the thing that Edovo loves about most of what we've done, I can't say everything because the records were coming out of our brain, but the other courses that are on there, almost all the other resources are all created by people that are incarcerated. We've just put them together. They really like that part of it.
Yeah, so we're using the writing of people who are incarcerated as the examples and then or as response text rather than other published writers.
And to be clear, we don't make a penny off of it. they know we're doing this, the guys and the women inside.
Yeah.
But the Edovo stuff is just all intended to be of benefit to people that are incarcerated. We don't make anything off of that.
And it just extends our reach. Maricopa County is one of our largest Edovo users. And I got to say, Danny's received some fan mail for Luther's Boots. And a writer who is in the
Polensky
unit, the death row unit in Texas, reached out to us and we're working. They've invited us to come and figure out how we could do a workshop in the unit and Danny could play shows. So we're kind of working on how that might happen. So it's expanded the readership for our writers exponentially. And gosh, I want to say that we've had, gosh, I can't remember the number, but like 40,000 completions of courses.
Sorry, not.
Oh, it was.
I think you've said 100,000 at one point.
Oh gosh. Well, yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry I didn't do my homework before I had this conversation, but yeah.
So like a course will have, so it's not of courses, but it's of lessons. A course may have 7 to 10 lessons within it, where they read something and then there's some activity that they have to write and respond or whatever. And and what you see, because it's all self-directed, is lesson one has a lot of viewership. And we've actually talked to Edovo about this and they actually love the numbers, but it kind of drops with everyone because they go, okay, I like that one. I like that one. I'm kind of bored. It just, you know, it's human.
Or they
human
don't name. Have access to the tablet.
Or they don't have access to the tablet. That's true. I should be more positive.
You should.
But anyway, if you look at all those completed lessons, it's 100,000. We have one of these videos, the one that Tracy and I did for Johnny Cash Heritage Festival that has like 57,000 views, which is kind of nuts. And yeah. People aren't just enjoying what they're, we feel good.
But the heart and soul of this project is still being face-to-face with people. And I think when we were in New Mexico, it felt strange to go and kind of have a one-off, especially at the Supermax, because folks are really, you know, they're in that cell 23 hours a day and they are not seeing a lot of outside faces. And so we ended up, a few writers said, hey, would you send us information? So we received permission from the warden to have them contribute. And so we got to be careful because it's just the two of us, but we want to be sure to keep bringing people along.
So what are any kind of future projects on the horizon? What are the next steps? You guys are always doing some new projects every time I see you. So,
well, these two things are still need to get to a place. Both the Edovo and the Pony Express, we need a little more time under our belt with that as well. But you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
We just received some grant funding to work on a project where we would use the brain trust of folks inside to build out curriculum, lessons, all those words don't quite describe what we have in mind, but to create some kind of resource information to do youth outreach. Well, the positive spin is using art and art-based ideas and generated from inside. People that love, say, music, maybe come up with an idea. We have one of our writers stayed connected to his kid for 20 years, and he had invested in just a little journal that he wrote the entire time to her. And so using the ideas that parents, aunts and uncles have cultivated to stay connected to their kids as the starting place to then create a series of something. So right now it's just not even, we can't even quite describe it. I'm using my hands a lot, which is not so good for radio, but we're going to kind of figure that out with the folks inside as to what we can make to connect with people who are younger.
It wouldn't be connecting directly with anybody that's incarcerated. It's sort of like, how are these, if it's a parent and their child, yes, of course, but it's not like, definitely not a scared straight situation, but it's nothing where there's any actual contact or correspondence. It kind of comes, we kind of help, we're kind of helping facilitate what the folks inside as a group, included with us, come up with as some projects in that, along that area.
And then we'd use Idovo as a distribution center for folks who are in Arizona or New Mexico that have access to it and start, you know, are looking for new ideas, new windows to open to just have conversations with their kids or kids in their lives, because we all could use a couple extra ideas of something to talk about with the kids with, you know. So, but it's such a hard thing to talk about because we don't quite have it figured out.
We need to talk to that Adam Carpinelli guy about McLaren.
We do. I wonder if we could get him on the line.
We'll get him slated. And as far as resources for your work and your curriculum, it's bridgeworksoregon.org is the website. Are there other things or places that people should check out?
Yeah, yes.
Pony Express, that's separate. And then Idovo is only inside, correct?
Only inside.
Yeah.
Only inside.
Once folks get out, they actually have access to it if they want to keep using it for a learning platform. But it's only if you've been incarcerated that you can do that. Mm-hmm. So the bridgeworksoregon.org is our main website for general what we're doing. The Pony Express, which is theponyxpress.org, the pony, no E in that express part, is where you will go and find all the writing from all the incarcerated folks around Oregon. And there's probably going to be some stuff from New Mexico coming up here shortly too.
Oh, it's up.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Oh yeah, it's up. Yeah. So, and the thing is, it's part of Substack. So people that arrive will see that there's kind of an interface. So they subscribe, but they can subscribe for free. And then if they like what they see, they can pitch in a little bit.
I also forgot that in addition to just reading some writing on there, there's also audio recordings of, are the women up there too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Four. Of both men and women reading their work. And those things are powerful.
Very powerful.
On the Pony Express. So you can search, like, I think if you type in audio, you'll get some things. But we produced for X-Ray FM here in, sorry, competition, asked us to produce a couple of recorded programs of folks reading their work. And so we've had, I think, the fourth one of those go up there.
Just went up.
Yeah.
From Pendleton, EO. And it's a really nice show.
So those can be found on the Pony Express too. Those are really good. Those are fun. You got to hear our voices a little bit, but.
Cool. Well, that's a lot of great resources, and thanks you guys for taking the time again. And it's always good to have you guys on, given all your updates on all this great stuff. And I'm sure we'll be back into it again sometime soon.
Thank you.
And for folks, you've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. A special thanks to our amazing guest and a Prison Pipeline Collective member, Karen James, for post-production. Free them all.
There is no therapy. And I would like to stress that,
listening to KBOO Portland.